The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Craig Forsyth to look ahead to the best of Saturday's action. And a pretty good Saturday we've got in store as well. It's the William Hill Imperial Cup from Sandown Park. Strong card at Sandown. Also action at Chepstow and Ayr to look forward to, as well as Wolverhampton and Gowran. Plenty to get your teeth stuck into pre-Cheltenham on Saturday. And I believe you're back in the studio, aren't you, Craig?
I am.
Lovely stuff. Firstly, how are you?
I'm grand, Alex. Spring has arrived.
It has indeed.
You know, I've been used all week standing on those race courses, freezing cold with a bitterly cold wind. But thankfully, the sun has arrived and the temperatures have risen.
Indeed. And, of course, we're just a few days away now from the Cheltenham Festival. And this is the week where, let's be honest, the standard of racing isn't the best. Having said that, Sandown's card on Saturday is pretty strong, but it's just waiting, isn't it? It's the apprehension, the excitement building for the Festival 2015. And it's a strange feeling this year in that there aren't, I think you were saying out in the office just a few minutes ago, that every race has got strong contenders, but you can still um and ah about them. It's a fantastic festival this year, isn't it?
So competitive, Alex. That's the way I like it. And it's always best like that. You know, you can get your teeth into some decent, juicy bets and find some decent value as well. It isn't easy, but hopefully hard work pays off. Mm. And I am really looking forward to this year's festival. I think it's going to be an absolute cracker. I mean, I've never seen a Gold Cup so competitive as this year's renewal.
That's a fair point. We're going to get to that race shortly because we wanted to have a look ahead to Cheltenham, but you know, we didn't want to put a four-hour podcast out, although I think we could talk about it for that
easily,
long.
Easily.
So we've decided to focus on the championship races. There's one on each day. So we're going to do the Champion Hurdle, the Champion Chase, the World Hurdle, and the Gold Cup on this edition of the podcast before looking at three races on Sandown. So you're getting quite a bit of value for money from us today. We'll start with the Champion Hurdle, Craig, obviously on Tuesday. I should say we are non-runner money back on all of the championship races here at William Hill. And Faheen is the 11-10 market leader at the time of recording, which is about 1:30. The new one, 3-1. Jeski, 9-2. Hurricane Fly at 8s. 14s Arctic Fire. 25s Kitten Rock. 33s for Vanateur. And 100-1 for Bertimont's. Now, Faheen, obviously, the machine. 11-10, as far as I'm concerned, Craig, is a little bit short when you've got the likes of the new one, Jeski and Hurricane Fly, in waiting. But Faheen is something pretty special, isn't he?
Is he, Alex? We still don't know.
Okay.
We still don't know. Honestly, I don't know how good this horse is. You know, we know he's pretty smart on the evidence we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. You know, his two starts this year out of novice company have both been very impressive. And, you know, he beat Blue Heron on the last of those starts, who went on to win the Grade 2 Kingwell Hurdle at Wincanton. You know, he impressed that day that the time of the race was decent. But, you know, the most impressive part for me of this horse is his turn of foot. He really does quicken. And as we know, the Neptune has been a good guide to the Champion Hurdle, last year's Neptune. A lot of horses have taken that. Hardy Eustace, Esther Brack, just to name two special Champion Hurdle winners. And Faheen possesses a really quick, you know, turn of foot after the last, which will be needed, because you've got the likes of the new one, who we've seen storm up the hill last year after being hampered by the sad fall of our Connor. Mm-hmm. And we've got Jeski, who absolutely loves this time of year. He really does appreciate better ground. And he's been in a very similar form lines to he was 12 months ago with his runs at Leopardstown behind Hurricane Fly. And we all know Hurricane Fly is very much at home at Leopardstown, where Jeski just adores this time of year, and he adores that Cheltenham Hill.
Okay, so in terms of opposition to Faheen, we'll start with the new one, 3-1. In my opinion, needs to be shown a little more respect than some people are showing. I think people are very quick to write this one off, and I really like the horse. Yes, his jumping hasn't been superb so far this season, and he hasn't really blown anybody away with his performances, but if he's ready, and we've seen in the past he's coming well at this time of year as well, I think he commands a bit more respect than he's been getting. Do you think that's fair?
Definitely, definitely. You know, a couple of things there. I would ignore all his form lines from this year. Mm-hmm. You know, his best run came at Cheltenham, and I did like the way he quickened away from Vanateur after the last on that occasion. And you look at this horse's best two performances, and they've actually come in defeat. Last year's champion hurdle, mm-hmm. when he was badly hampered, in the Christmas hurdle in 2013, where he finished second to My Tent or Yours. Those were his best two performances. You know, I think he'll love the big, well, not so much big field, there's only 8 go to post now, but he will love these conditions. He Haydock doesn't really suit. Mm. He has won twice there this year, but he's had to work hard in both victories, and I think Cheltenham suits much better. He's a big runner. I think he would have finished alongside Jetski last year. It would have been hard to call had he never been hampered by Arconna's ill-fated departure. It would have been close. So I can see both those horses finishing alongside each other once again. I couldn't back Fahina at 11-10, mm-hmm. but I think he's the most likely winner, Alex.
Okay. Jetski, 9-2. You mentioned we've got the eight runners. Each way value there.
I missed the each way value a couple of weeks ago when he was 8-1. You know, that was the time really to be on Jetski each way.
But even now, as a safe bet, surely Jetski's going to be in the first three.
He should be, yeah. I mean, Arctic Fire, you know, looking beyond the first three, Arctic Fire has improved this year. But, you know, he ran in the county hurdle last year. And that was off a mark of 140, where he finished second. So he's improved a bit, taking him up to 155 horse. But he needs to go another £10 up the ladder.
He's still only 14-1 for a horse that, with all due respect, won't be winning. It's not a fantastic each way bet when you know that he can only place. Whereas Jetski, you are getting the potential for him to reclaim his crown. And are we ruling Hurricane Fly out 8-1? Some people might think, you know, he holds Jetski on the two runs this year. Granted, they're at Leopardstown and they're in softer ground, but he has won here before. Is it 8-1 a fair price about him?
No, to be honest. I think they've had different campaigns. Hurricane Fly has been brought along to peak at those Leopardstown meetings, mm-hmm. where Jetski has been brought gradually along to peak at the festival. You know, I'm sure at the start of the season, Willie Mullins didn't really see Hurricane Fly as a champion hurdle contender this year. You know, getting on with his age, etc. But, you know, the horse has just... He's been fantastic, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Those victories, he's looked as good as ever, but... Last year, he finished fourth. He wasn't good enough, and I think this is an even better renewal. Another horse to mention, you know, again, looking out with the first three is Vanateur. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how he goes in this race. I don't think he'll be winning. I don't think he'll be in the frame, Alex. But what I do know and do think is that he's going to make a top-notch chaser next year.
Yeah.
He very much reminds me of Sprinter Sacra as a young horse.
Okay, interesting. So the pick in the champion hurdle is...
Fahin, but no bet.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the fence a little on this one.
So, Fahin, the one that we think is good enough to win, 11-10 isn't the most appealing price, but Fahin, if living up to his reputation, will be hard to beat in the champion hurdle. Next
Stay
up.
With us, listeners. We do have three bets in the other championship races.
The champion chase is next up. This one coming up on Wednesday. Sprinter Sacra, 5-2. Cider Rouge, 3s, 5 for Dodging Bullets, 11-2 Champagne Fever, 8-1 Mr. Mole, 14s for Balder Success, 16s for Simply Ned, and 25s or bigger the rest. This race, I'd say, if you go back a month, maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, had the look of, well, hang on, who's actually going to turn up for this, and in what shape are they going to turn up? All of a sudden, this race just has that sort of glint of excitement again. There's horses here that have been there and done that and proven it, the likes of Sprinter Sacra. Obviously, his health still has to be taken on trust. But if he's back to his best, this 5-2 could be an incredibly tasty price, Craig.
I can't have him, Alex. I really cannot have Sprinter Sacra.
Okay.
You know, he was a high-class chaser in the past, but I think those days could be long gone now, to be honest. I prefer to concentrate on his recent return after a layoff. Mm-hmm. And I think that tells us more how he... And, You know, it's a better guide to how he's likely to run at the festival. And for me, in that race, he travelled and jumped as well as I've ever seen him. I just didn't like his finishing effort on that occasion. Dodging bullets went past him fairly easy. Yeah, Barry Geraghty didn't give him a hard time on that occasion, but it later transpired that he had bled. Now, as we know, horses that bleed have every chance that they may repeat that in future races. And one thing we do know is that Sprinter Sacra will come under a lot more pressure in the Champion Chase than he did in the Clarence House at Ascot. So, you know, I'm yet to be convinced that he's back to his best. All the vibes are that, you know, that he's working as well as he ever has now. But Sprinter Sacra at 5-2 wouldn't be for me.
Okay. Woodside of Grugy be for you at 3-1. Another horse that's had his problems this year was, I think it's fair to say, disappointing on his reappearance, but almost entitled to be disappointing, and a lot more impressive when winning at Chepstow when last seen. Again, at 3-1, people will be tempted by the price on this. What do you think?
Well, I got a new pair of shoes today, Alex, and I've absolutely come down the hill into the office really well today, so it's made a big difference. So, Saïd Grugy, I hope his new shoes works again after Chepstow.
Of course, he's got sort of, it's a plastic, well, it is basically a shoe, isn't it? It's a plastic protective casing on his fragile feet, shall we say. Yeah. Is that a positive for you?
It made a difference at Chepstow, definitely did, because he blundered his way around Newbury on his return in the Game Spirit, and he eventually departed. Things haven't gotten a plan for him, have they? Because in an ideal world, he would have jumped around at Newbury and won, and then had given time to recover from the race, so he was A1 for Cheltenham. As a result of the fall, they've been searching the calendar, the programme book, for another race for him, you know, just to get that, put that blip behind him. And what he did was he carried a big weight, he jumped well, but he did have handicappers in behind him, and it was heavy ground. You know, I think that would have taken a little bit out the horse, maybe taken the edge off him. And this is his third run within a month after being off since April. So I think they've just crammed too much into a short space of time with Saïd Grugy. And I don't think it'll be good enough this year.
Okay, so that leaves us with Dodging Bullets at 5, Champagne Fever 11-2, and Mr. Mole at 8. They're the market principles. Are you going to focus on one of them, or are you going to look at an even bigger price?
Definitely. We'll touch on Dodging Bullets first, because I think he's the solid one. You know, he's won the Tingle Creek and followed up in the Clarence House, and, you know, the figures from the Clarence House suggest he produced a personal best on that occasion. But one thing about the horse, his form usually dips at this time of year. But Paul Nicholls says it's different this time around, and the different training regime is helping the horse improve. So he's the solid option. But you look back to last year's Arkle, and Champagne Fever was a good 5 lengths in front of him. And, you know, he was seen as a Gold Cup horse earlier in the year. Things haven't worked out for him. You know, he clearly hasn't stayed the trip. But for a horse that didn't stay in the King George, he still run a remarkable race to finish where he did. His confidence booster behind him with an easy victory at Gowran Park last time. I think he would have beaten Don Cossack, in all fairness, at Thurles. I think he would have definitely beaten him. And his previous festival record, he's won a bumper.
Just like Cheltenham, doesn't
he's
he?
Won a Supreme, and he was second to Western Warhorse in last year's Arkle. You know, I'm very, very sweet on Champagne Fever in the Queen Mother Champion Chase.
Okay, 11-2 on Champagne Fever. Just a line on Mr. Mole. There'll be some that's, you know, if you'd have said a year ago, I'll give you 8-1 on Mr. Mole to win the Champion Chase, that'll have laughed at you. But he's progressive, he's going the right way. He hasn't done a great deal wrong of late. He's still got his quirks. Obviously missed the kick, didn't he, at Sandown? It was at Newbury, wasn't it, last time? But 8-1, any chance for maybe each way punters?
Yeah, I can see it. You know, I talked the horse up unbelievably well prior to his last start, and then he looked like he was going to plant himself again. You know, there's still that doubt regarding his quirks, whether he's going to start and the atmosphere and the crowds at Cheltenham, will that, you know, put the horse off? I still think he's got too many questions to answer to be of any serious interest.
Okay, fair enough. So you're with Champagne Fever?
Champagne Fever, yeah. I think he's a decent bet on this.
Okay. Champagne Fever then in the Champion Chase. The World Hurdle is the feature race on Thursday. Obviously, we don't know who's going to turn up yet, but we can guess. Annie Power, 4-1 market leader. Safo de Roy, 5s. Zakandar, 5s. Rock on Ruby, 7s. Lieutenant Colonel at 10s. Easy for me to say. 12s for Ntompor, 2 and a Whisper. 16s, Blue Fashion, Jetson, Monksland and Rev de Sivola. We'll start with Annie Power. We don't imagine she's going to turn up here, do we?
I think we're looking towards the Mayor's Hurdle.
Yeah.
You know, very good second last year to more of that. And for me, proved that she stays the trip. You know, she was still pulling clear of the third and fourth. Mm. And was, if anything, beaten by a strongest there in more of that. But I think they'll take the easy option, particularly the fact that she hasn't had a run. You know, it's the Mayor's Hurdle, I think, where we're likely to see Annie Power lining up.
We are non-runner money back on the World Hurdle, though, so if you were to back her for this, then it wouldn't hurt you too much. But I think it's almost a given that she will go to the Mayor's. That leaves us with Safa Deroux and Zarkanda as joint market leaders, if you like. That 5-1 may get a little bit shorter, but... two Nichols runners, two very different runners as well. You've got one who has been there, done that, and is sure to run a solid race, and another that really could be anything. Obviously, we've had comparisons with Safa Deroux to Big Books, partly because of the connections, partly because of, you know, his running style and the fact that he has tried, and I wouldn't say failed, but not the most successful chaser that you'll ever see. And 5-1. I'm quite a big fan of Safa Deroux, Craig. What about you?
I can see it. I can see where you're coming from. But you look at what you would probably use as the best trials for the race then, and form guide for the season. And them races are the long walk hurdle and the Cleve hurdle. In the long walk, obviously, Zarkanda looked like he was all set to win that day, and Rev de Sivola caught him in the dying strides. Moving on to Cheltenham and the Cleve, again, Rev de Sivola ties in the form lines because Safa Deroux, you know, was only, a length and a half, 2 lengths in front of him that day. So, for me, Zarkanda, Rev de Sivola and Safa Deroux could all finish, you know, within a length or so of each other here. Mm-hmm. Would that form be good enough to win a World Hurdle? I don't think so, Alex, in all honesty. But of the three, Safa Deroux is only a six-year-old and still has more room for improvement. So he may better his form that he's achieved so far. And bearing in mind, you know, I think he set out this year with the intention of being an RSA horse.
Yeah.
And halfway through, they've turned their attentions back to hurdles. He's proved his well-being at Cheltenham last time. Like I said, he is a young horse. There's more to come from him, but he does need to improve to win a World Hurdle.
Okay, so Zarkanda fives. Rev de Sivola 16s. I know Rev de Sivola wants softer ground, but it's quite a gap between those two. When you think that they're similar horses in that they're just yardsticks, you know what you're getting with them. There's a
maybe
in my
down
opinion,
to the
too much of a gap between those two.
Could be down to the weather forecast.
Yeah.
The drying ground would be against Rev de Sivola at Cheltenham.
Okay. Rock on Ruby at 7s, Lieutenant Colonel 10s, 12s for Whisper and Tompore 2. What do you have to say about any of those?
A positive for Lieutenant Colonel. A negative for Rock on Ruby. I don't think he'll stay.
No, I don't.
I think he was all out over 2.5 miles. You know, I think trainers are guilty of making a mistake here. Horses that fall just short of champion hurdle class that try and step up and you know, find a race at Cheltenham for the horse because it's a world hurdle, they don't stay. But what, you know, what they don't realise is the bottom of the horse, you know, running them over 3 miles, where in 3 weeks' time, there's a cracking 2.5 mile Aintree hurdle.
Yeah.
And Rock on Ruby would be really suited to that race. And I think they would be better keeping him fresh for Aintree than running him here over 3 miles.
Oscar Whiskey, of course, dominated that race. And that's because Nicky Henderson, granted, he did run at Cheltenham a few times, but generally the aim was Aintree. That was the aim. And there's no shame in that.
Definitely.
It's not like Aintree is a lesser festival than Cheltenham or that the race is any less. It's still a perfectly good race to win, and I agree. I think they'd almost panic, but they're just kind of going, what can we do?
Yeah, he's 10.
We need to run at Cheltenham when they don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's 10. This is the only race for him. Let's run him in it.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll stay.
Okay.
Moving back to the positive,
yes.
Lieutenant Colonel, do like him. Respectable 6th in last year's Neptune behind Fohin. You know, real good run.
Mm-hmm.
For a staying horse, he's so quick over his hurdles. I really like how... You know, he's fast and he's fluent, and I think he's a good horse, Lieutenant Colonel. You know, he's only had one shot at 3 miles, and he beat the Digout on that occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Digout has gone on to win 2 graded hurdles following that run, so the form is rock solid. The only doubt in my mind with Lieutenant Colonel, Alex, is I didn't think he was entirely letting himself down on the quicker ground in last year's Neptune, and if it was to be on the quick side of good, that would be a concern. But for me, I think he's worth small stakes at those odds, Lieutenant Colonel. You know, been around the Cheltenham preview scene. I was at Hexham on Wednesday night. Big word around for Whisper. They say Nicky Henderson's got this horse back to his best.
Okay.
Another horse with good festival form. Last year's Coral Cup winner.
But we're going to go with Lieutenant Colonel?
Lieutenant Colonel for me, yeah.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the Cheltenham Gold Cup. 3-1 Sylvaniaco Conti. Of course, this coming up on Friday. 3-1 Sylvaniaco Conti. 8's Many Clouds. 9's for Road to Riches. 10's for Jackadam and Holywell. 11's Carlingford Lock. 12's for Coney Gray and Lord Windermere. 16's for Wobbsworth and Smad Place. And 20's or bigger the rest. We're going to have to hurry up a little bit, Craig, because we have to be out of the studio shortly. But... and we've still got the three at Sandown to look at as well. But what has caught your eye in this one? Can you look past Sylvaniaco Conti this year?
Yeah, I don't think he's... I think he's exactly the same horse as he was 12 months ago. I've got his King George performance to the pound, identical to his success of 2013. So I don't think he's improved. And he obviously hasn't gone backwards. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't good enough last year. I thought he benefited from an excellent ride in the King George, beating a non-stayer in Dynast. I think the stronger stairs, Alex. I really do. The horse I like is Road to Riches. You know,
okay.
He's looked at different horses this season.
9-1.
He jumped well to win his first grade one at Down Royal. Noel Mead put that improvement down to a change in his diet. No shoes this time, just a change in diet.
I've tried that. That doesn't work.
I fail miserably on that one, Alex. You know, he produced a personal best to win the Lexus. His stamina really kicked in that day. He's seen the race up well. I think the extra 2 furlongs here will be right up his street. He's got Lord Windermere, last year's winner, to beat. I think he's a better horse this time around based on his run in the Lexus and Hennessy. Dangers are plenty. Holywell, Carlingford Lock, Jack Adam, all promising horses. Smart Place at a price. It's an excellent Gold Cup. It's so competitive. Road to Riches, I'll stick with him.
Okay, Road to Riches for Craig then in the Gold Cup. Right, great stuff. As I said, we could talk about this for hours, but we do have... a live radio show to go live in a couple of minutes' time. So we'll move on to Sandown on Saturday, and we'll start with the 2 o'clock. It's the European Breeders' Fund William Hill National Hunt Novices Handicap Hurdle Final. Oh, a Grade 3 contest, 2.5 miles the trip. 18 runners going to post for this one, Craig, and it's just about as a competitive race as you could find that isn't at a festival.
Oh, Sandown card on Saturday is fantastic. It really is. You know, it could almost be one of the days of a festival.
Yeah.
And the horse I like here is Great Try. I think everything is just starting to drop with the horse. He's been a work in progress type. He was a good second to Ballyboley at Aintree on his first start over hurdles. Followed that up with another solid effort behind Clean Sheet at Newbury. And eventually he got his head in front of Bangor last time. And he was value for a lot more than the winning distance on that occasion. Mm-hmm. He is a future chaser. That is what you're looking for to win this race. The likes of Many Clouds has been second in it in the past.
Same connections as well. So, well, same owner, Trevor Hemmings.
Same colours, yeah.
Paul Nichols trains Nick Schofield rides, yeah.
I think he's gotten lightly here off a mark of 125. I do like the horse. He's a very, very strong traveller. He's still learning the game, but it was a nice performance and nice to see him get his head in front at Bangor. I think the horse that I fear most is Philip Hobbs's Hallow George.
Okay.
He's got more to offer. Fourth in the Lanzarote at Kempton. Don't think he entirely gave his best running that day. I think there's more to come from him. I see him as the biggest danger. But the one I like in the EBA final is Great Try.
Okay, Great Try, the pick in that one. Next up is the Imperial Cup, the William Hill Imperial Cup. 3:10 for this one, the Grade 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2-mile trip. We've got 24 runners going to post. And the same comments apply as to the first race that we looked at, to be honest, Craig. It's very, very open. Some old favourites running here and also some up-and-coming younger types. What caught your eye in this one?
There's a few, Alex. I quite fancy Wicklow Brave for the 2-mile handicap hurdle at the festival, the county hurdle. You know, I think he's crying out for better ground. Whether it dries out in time for Sandown on Saturday remains to be seen. But, you know, even if he's beaten in this race, keep an eye on him for Cheltenham, because I think he'll run a massive race in the county hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
He was hampered by the faller in the Betfair hurdle, and he, you know, the ground was just too soft for him and sticky that day and holding. So I think he'll run a race, but I'm going to go for the horse that fell just in front of him that day, Fasino Rustico.
Mm-hmm.
I seen the horse at Newcastle on his penultimate start where he beat Zip Top, a real likeable future chasing type. You know, I think he's obviously had breathing problems in the past. He wasn't seen out his races last year, but he's an entirely different horse this year, and he was unfortunate with his fall at Newbury, you know, because he actually jumped the hurdle and he just looked like he slid on landing at the other side. You know, and at that stage of the race, you know, he had Wicklow Brave in behind and he had the what is probably likely to be favourite for this race on Saturday, Calypto, in behind at that stage of the race. You know, the last 10 winners of this race have all carried less than 11 stone. It's a really good renewal, but I'm going to go for Dan Skelton's Fascino Rustico.
And, of course, we do sponsor the race here at William Hill, and we're offering a £100,000 bonus if any horse wins this and then goes on to win at the festival. So definitely a carrot dangled towards connections there. The final race we're going to look at is the listed bumper, Mare's listed bumper, coming up at 3:45. 2 miles the trip for this one, 17 runners going to post, and well, some of these could be anything, couldn't they, Craig? What's caught your eye of those that we know about?
Best bet of the day on Saturday, Copper K, trained by Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson.
Okay.
Really, really impressed with this mare's performance at Warwick. Was really green on that occasion. You know, Richard Johnson did well to straighten her up in the closing stages and get the better of Alan King's Big Chief Benny. You know, they hadn't got anywhere near the bottom of this horse on that occasion. She went through the line absolutely full of running. You know, clearly she'll have learnt a lot from that race. Mm-hmm. Ignore the ground that day because it was almost unraceable. The times from the meeting suggest it wasn't soft, Alex. It was heavy, bordering on unraceable. And this horse's action suggests she'll be better on a better ground surface. And I think she's clearly going to get that sand down. I think she could be something special, this Copper K. And I see her as the best bet for Saturday.
Okay, Copper K, the best bet on Saturday for Craig Forsyth. Great stuff, Craig. Thanks very much for your picks at Sandown and at Cheltenham. Best of luck on Saturday and have a great festival.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.